Hey there, this is Arnie, the Arnie on Earth, and no, I am not a robot. You're a robot. I'm just checking in to let you know there's no new Hello from the Magic Tavern episode this week, but we'll be back next Monday with an all-new episode. And this week we wanted to share something extra special with you. On the Magic Tavern Patreon, which you can go to at patreon.com/magictavern, we have a stretch goal to record a role-playing game with our friend Anthony Birch, the great dungeon master from the podcast Dungeons and Daddies, which I'm a huge fan of. We have not hit the stretch goal yet. We're still a couple hundred subscribers away, but we have recorded it. It was incredibly fun and funny. In fact, so much fun that it ended up stretching out to, I think, 4 episodes. So as a special preview and enticement, here is the first episode of Shadow City, DM'd by Anthony Birch. And if you want to help us release the rest of the episodes on the Patreon, all you have to do is join the Hello from the Magic Tavern Patreon at patreon.com/magictavern. There's so many perks. Bonus episodes. But I'll hold off on the hard sell until after the episode. Give it a listen. It goes off the rails very fast. And I'll see you on the other side. Enjoy! Gathered together to play a game for realsies and everything. We're actually going to play a game.
Jesus Christ.
For realsies?
For realsies.
For realsies and everything.
Are you a 13-year-old student in 1990s grade school?
You threw too many numbers at me. I'm just trying to add a childlike sense of wonder to this experience, which
of course,
but I don't need to, because it's going to be great. I feel like the more I say it's going to be great, the more it seems like I have uncertainty about it, which I don't.
Your Honor, gag me with a spoon. As if.
Roll for smooth move, X-Lax.
I'm Arnie Niekamp, and I'm excited to play a game.
Yeah, and I'm Matt Young, and then you're hearing the real me for right now, because we've got an exciting guest who's going to be our game master for a really awesome tabletop role-playing game that of his own devising? What am I saying?
Well, I didn't invent Dungeons and Dragons, which is the system we'll be using.
The system, yes.
Well, then who's that person? Let's get them.
Is Mr. Coast available? I'm Adelrafi. And I'm very excited to play.
His name is John Dragons.
Thank you.
Oh, that's a good name.
And he has a twin brother who also has a pendant.
And I'm Anthony Birch. I'm gonna walk you through some hopefully what'll be a fun little tabletop role-playing adventure. So the system that we're using is basically Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition, if you're familiar with that, invented by John Dragons. And it's going to be in a very non-Dungeons & Dragons-y kind of setting. And unless anybody has anything they'd like to say, I can just take us right into the story if you want.
I will preface this with, I have played D&D, but probably less than anyone else here. So I will ask dumb questions, one, because I'm dumb, and two, I'm serving as the Robin who's like the entry point for the reader.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I'm Robin to all your Batmans.
Right.
And I'll just wait for Matt to ask the dumb question so I won't seem like the dumb one. I'll be like, oh, but I'll be taking copious notes whenever he asks something.
Well, thankfully, the way that I tend to game master Dungeons & Dragons is very loosey-goosey and kind of rules light a lot of the time. So you don't have to worry about, honestly, anything that you feel like doing, you can just say you want to do it. And, you know, if it's something that you have to roll for, you can roll for it. If it's something I don't feel like it should be able to do, like, feel free to, you know, be creative first. Don't worry about the dice and the numbers so much. I'll help out with that stuff, even though I'm also terrible at that. But it'll be fine. We'll all be fine. Everything's going to be good, probably.
Where were you when I was a teenager?
Just not having sex. Just
oh, me too.
Full-time job. Yeah. Oh, man, we should have hung out.
We all should have not had sex together.
Oh, man. I guess we're technically doing that right now.
Yeah.
It's true. Ain't that just the way?
Okay. Shall we begin?
Yeah. Yes, please.
Let's do it.
Okay. Black clouds, pregnant with rain, hang in the starless black sky over Shadow City, home of devious supervillains, corrupt officials, and low-level criminal scum, like you. Only one man stands between Shadow City and utter chaos, a caped righter of wrongs who fights evil with tooth and claw. A hero so unbeatable, so beloved, that the toy store you pull up to in your car has an entire window display devoted to his new posable talking action figures. But right now, he's not your biggest worry. You're thinking about the $1 million you owe to Don Tribbiani, one of Shadow City's most powerful mob bosses. Your driver whimpers, his palms coating the steering wheel in sweat. His eyes are fixed on the other side of the street, at the Shadow City First National Bank, the bank you're about to rob. He asks, for what seems like the 100th time, "So, what's the plan, fellas?" Who answers first amongst you, and what does that person look like? Anybody at all?
There's a stout woman around 60 who answers first. Her name is Matilda O'Brien. Everyone just calls her Ma. In the world of Dungeons & Dragons, she'd be a cleric. But here, she's just like a grizzled old Catholic mom who's like very serious and devout, but is devoted to her family. But her family is crime and the people who do it.
Hey, we're going to take care of it. We're going to get into this bank, we're going to get this money, and it's all going to be fine.
All right. Does anybody want to also chime in? This would be a good time for all of you to introduce yourselves to the audience.
Well, I will say that I'm Crusher. That's my last name, Crusher, but I go by that. As a lot of people assume it's a nickname, but it's really just my last name. I'm sort of a small guy, not too intimidating, but I'm a ranger, and I don't really say anything at this moment. I'm actually kind of quiet.
Yeah, and right after Ma speaks, a sort of giant, almost Jack Reacher-sized paw or mitt clasp on her shoulder very gently, and you hear the voice belonging to that mitt, to that turkey, that giant roast turkey of a hand, say, "That's right, Ma, it's all going to be okay." If we pull back, we see that the hand belongs to a 6'9", 420-pound giant of a man named Tommy Punches DePlume. He's in a white dress shirt that's unbuttoned at the top. He has almost like tuxedo slacks. And then his sleeves are almost like reverse Chippendale, kind of, where it's like his muscles are so big that he has to have a sleeve from the wrist to the elbow, and then there's just nothing, bare skin, and then from the shoulder to his neck, the shirt continues, because his biceps are too big for any shirt. And on his biceps, if the camera lingers long enough, you see there are tattoos of fists on his biceps, just because he's really proud of the name that he's accrued over his time in the gang, which is Punches.
Perfect.
Oh, and I forgot to mention, his head kind of looks like Grimace. So
Tommy, I got to make you a nicer shirt than that. We got to get you a shirt that fits.
No, Ma, this fits fine.
And not to interrupt, but Adel, you said that Tommy is almost Jack Reacher size. So he's like Jack Reach.
He's like Jack Reach, yes. And again, I can't stress enough, his face is exactly like Grimace's, but instead of purple, it is, you know, flesh-colored. So he has very genial eyes. His mouth is always in an upturned surprise smile.
No.
Does he have mitten hands?
No, he has regular
his
hands.
His face, Arnie. His face.
He's the perfect man. He has the face of Grimace and the body of Jack Reacher. Everyone's dream.
Sure.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right.
Adel, you just satisfied exactly one person's sexual fantasy.
This is a very normal and typical D&D character archetype, so the fact that this is a surprise to the two of you that haven't played a lot of it is not surprising to me. Most characters in D&D look like this.
I should have just said I'm an FG. Arnie, that stands for Fuckable Grimace. It's sort of a dark web thing, anyway.
Okay, so the driver says, "All right, well, you know the deal. All of us owe $250,000 to Don Tribbiani. This is pretty much our last night to pay him back. So whenever you're ready, you head in there, you come out with as much money as you can, and if we're lucky, we'll live to see the next sunrise. But I'll wait here for as long as it takes. I got nowhere to be." And he unlocks the doors.
"You keep this car running. All right. Punches, you gotta remember.
Yeah.
You get in there and you tell the teller what we need, and I'm gonna cover the front door, okay?"
"You got it. And hey, driver,
Yeah?
You said you got nowhere to be? Next week, you want to play pickleball?
Pickleball, yeah. Hell, that sounds great.
All right.
You're such sweet boys. You're such sweet boys. All right. Everybody, get your Britney Spears masks on.
And we put those on. And as Tommy gets out of the car, you see the hydraulics on the car lift about 3 feet as he was weighing it down.
Great. So to sort of fill in the audience on some details, I basically gave our three intrepid players some very basic details about the bank that they might have gotten from casing the joint, but I don't actually know what their plan to rob the bank is. So what do you all do next? Are you going to step inside the lobby? Are you going to do other stuff? You're sort of driving this at this point, so let me know what you'd like to do, and I'll tell you what you see and what can happen next.
Addle, I think we just walk in with the masks, and you go up to the counter, and I'm kind of like covering the door, and we see where it goes from there.
Great.
Okay. So the moment the two of you, just the two of you, walk in with the masks?
Yep.
All right.
That's right.
The moment the two of you walk in with your masks, immediately you notice, I mean, you already knew that they were here because of the casing of the joint that you did off screen, but there are two guards holding pistols in here. One's near the door, one's at the other end of the room. Both of them see two people walk in. Initially, they have a very like, and twins, kind of like reaction, like they're psyched. But once they see the
finally
the gear that you're carrying with you, they freak out a little bit. And one nearest the door, the one nearest to you, sort of fumbles for his service revolver on his hip. Are any of you going to do anything about that?
Tommy punches, tries to step very closely to the gentleman to where he can't even outreach his arm fully extend his arm to raise the gun. Almost like a football lineman just gets up in his personal space very quickly without touching him.
Okay, let's. Why don't you give me an acrobatics or athletics roll, whichever you like.
So let me roll. Looks like a 21.
You succeed very well. You get right up in this dude's craw, and he tries to wrench the gun out. He gets his hand around the gun, but as he tries to wrench it out of its holster, you're so close to him that like he can't even move his hand forward enough to get the leverage to. And he's so scared by the size of you, he's too shocked to even step back. So you've got him handled. But in this moment, he yells, "Get down on the ground!" I guess. And the other guard in the back is like, and sort of starts walking towards you, and he's also fiddling with his gun, and he actually manages to get it out, unless one of you would like to do something to stop him at this distance.
How far away is he again, sorry?
He's about, well, I never said, so you don't have to apologize. He's about 15 feet away.
15 feet.
He's close enough that if you wanted to do something cool, you could do it very easily.
Could I?
Come on, do something cool.
Can I run up to him and hit him with my bag of oranges?
Sure.
Yeah.
So go ahead and give me an attack roll.
Rolling one, go. That is a 17.
17 is going to beat his AC, which means you thwack him over the head, and he, because you surprised him so much and because these guys are pretty cheap as far as guards go, you hit him with a sack of oranges and he falls to the ground like a sack of potatoes. You've gone from fruit to vegetable in an instant. All right, so now what? The people around you, the other, there are about three customers here basically standing in line, and they're unsure of what to do. They all look pretty tired. It's almost closing time. It's like 4:30. And the tellers see you take out, well, not take out, but they see you take out one of the guards, and you can see the tellers behind a, you know, 2-inch thick pane of bulletproof glass. One of them reaches for a button.
I will say quickly, while I am physically standing in front of the one guard who I've intimidated, I do want to try and lean down into his ear and whisper,
"You just remembered you have somewhere to be,"
and see if I can intimidate him out the door.
Great.
So we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, give me an intimidation roll, please.
Okay. That is going to be a 16.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and roll opposed for his intimidation. He only got a 13. So he says, Yeah, you're right. I gotta go practice for my pickleball game with my buddies. I got some brine I gotta put the ball in. You know how it is. It's gotta be nice and juicy for the big game.
Oh, yeah. I love pickleball. What are you doing next week?
No. Hey.
I mean, get out of here.
Oh, man. I was one man down on my team, too. And he walks away, like, kicking the dirt. but he's out of here now, and the other guard is down. So you see on the other side of the bulletproof glass, in addition to the teller, in addition to the one teller that is working today, leaning over to press a button, you can see behind this teller that there is a door that you know leads to the manager's office and possibly some other rooms. But yeah, so she leans down, presses a button. If anybody would like to roll perception or insight, I can tell you what that button does. If not, I assume you can figure it out based on your knowledge of watching literally any movie about banks ever made.
17.
She's hit the silent alarm. The cops will be here in 15 minutes.
This might be a good time for me to talk about what's going on with Crusher.
Great.
So I got to take you back 20-some years. Crusher grew up in a neighborhood where everyone either became a criminal or a guard. He spent a lot of time around guards, sort of observed them, learned a lot about them, knew their ways, never was one, never wanted to become one. But using some of my stats to be that, like, guard is a race that I kind of can read and track and sort of just naturally know a lot about. So what I'm proposing is, you told us we had 6 months to prepare for this.
I did.
I'm proposing, and this is a big gamble, that Crusher was able in the last 6 months to get a job as a guard and is in that security room right now. What do I got to roll?
I think you roll deception.
Okay.
To see if you could get the job.
Okay.
And I feel like you roll with advantage because that's a really good idea.
Okay, so I already have +4.
Great. So advantage means that you roll twice and you take the higher of the two rolls.
Okay. So, first roll, a 4.
Good thing you had advantage.
It's a good thing. Thank you, Ingenuity.
You rolled a 4 and you have a +4, so you rolled a 0?
I don't know how that's possible. I also now also rolled a 2. So I just, okay. I add the 4 myself.
So 4 so plus 4 is 8. So eight. The best roll you had was an 8. So... Let's say.
I gotta say though, it was a really good idea.
It was a good idea. You came in, you applied for the guard position. Uh-huh. What do you think you said that fucked it up so bad for you that they wouldn't even let you apply as a guard?
Here's part of the problem. I look like the body of Jason Statham with the face of the Hamburglar. So part of the problem is that I probably
so Jason
went
Statham.
In, yeah. So unfortunately, I still have a kind of like, I have a natural, my face gives me a natural burglar mask a little bit.
I just had a flash of horror. My nightmares are going to be filled with the Hamburglar in a crank-like situation where he's like fucking people at the Kentucky Derby and like constantly has to have his crank. It's just running very quickly. Now, thank you so much for that, Art.
Do not Google image search Hamburglar and his crank. Because so I come in like that and I probably say like,
how fast can I get a position in the highest security part of this place possible?
So the manager, who is a very sour, balding looking man, looks up at you pretty much immediately because he lives in a, as you said, everyone in this city is either guards or crooks, can pretty much immediately tell what you are. And he cocks his head and he goes,
I got janitor duties. How do you feel about a high security bathroom for customers?
I'll take it.
Anthony, can I roll for the gentleman you're playing? Or can you roll to see if he has any sneaking suspicion that the person he's talking to is Joe Pesci undercover for a movie role?
Sure.
Like trying to study for a movie role?
I will roll a D20. He got an 18. Okay. So and he goes, are you Joe Pesci? Legally, if I ask you Joe Pesci, you got to tell me. That's how that works.
Why do you ask me that? What makes you think, what about me, makes you think I'm Joe Pesci? What about me?
Why are you asking me that now? Now you're asking me? What do I look like, a person who answers questions to you? Hey, are we related?
Not to make this entirely about this new character, but you would say, is it fair to say he's a movie fan?
Yeah. Okay. You know what? You look around his office and it's all posters for classic Hollywood cinema. He has a penchant for old Howard Hawks movies, like the old Scarface.
Okay.
He seems to like gangster movies. I guess he lives in a shitty gangster-ridden part of town, so he's kind of if you can't beat him, join him mentality.
So obviously, I did badly so far. But you had us devise three items. One of the items that I devised is a glaive.
All right, Jerry Lewis.
Glaive.
Glaiven.
It's a glaive, as we all know, is the weapon from the movie Crawl.
It's a glaive plugin.
And it's not an actual, but it's not an actual weapon. It's just an actual prop from the movie Crawl.
Great.
And if anyone recognizes this prop, they are kind of obsessed with it for a short period of time.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm going to pull out my glaive and be like, oh, look, look at this thing.
I think roll persuasion with advantage because he is a movie fan.
Okay, persuasion. Okay,
Did Howard Hawks direct Crawl? I can't remember.
So I got a 1 plus 2. I have a 3. So things are not going great.
Wait. With advantage? Crusher. You rolled twice and you got a 1 both times?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Can we, Arnie, check that you're doing this correctly? Because this is terrifying.
Yeah, you haven't broken 2 digits yet.
Yeah. Oh, wait, hold on. I just keep looking at the page number.
Are you rolling a d20?
I am. Actually, no, I didn't roll my second.
Okay.
Because of advantage, and I got a 17.
Okay, great. So with the 17, he goes, is that like a Xena? No, that's not Xena. It's got like knives on it. What is that? Oh, the
Xena.
The...
This isn't a TV prop. This is like a movie.
Oh.
Crawl.
Crawl. I get that confused with Cull the Conqueror or something. I think there was a Kevin Sorbo picture. I've seen every movie ever made. Oh, I'm so lonely. But yeah,
You're a real Sorbo head, huh?
Well, I don't know if I'd say that. He's got some problematic opinions on everything else. But like, I was a fan of his brief forays into the filmic world. But no, Crawl. Yeah, I remember Crawl. I watched that when I was a little kid. Oh, that's look at the detail on that. And so he kind of gets in close and starts examining the glaive.
Okay, so if he's distracted, I'm going to look through his things.
Okay,
What is happening?
So go ahead and roll,
guys, don't worry, I'm rolling great. So this is definitely good.
Arnie's like, can I talk to his kids? Just to see what their deal is?
So let's say if you want to like actually move around him and like start going through his like desk and stuff, we'll have you roll for stealth. If you want to just like examine what's around the room and on his desk and is in plain sight, you can roll investigation.
Okay, so here's the thing. I don't want to take too much of time in the past because we've got an exciting action happening in the present. So I'm just trying to think, is there any last thing I can maybe try to do to get myself, maybe I don't get all the way to the security guard room, but I'm a little better than the bathroom.
Okay, let's see.
Based on your voices, the easiest thing is maybe to take over this man's life.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, what you see is that this guy, this manager, you see right now he doesn't look that much like you. He's balding. He's kind of rotund. Mm-hmm. But you see on his desk that there's a picture of him and his wife many years ago when they first got married, when he had a full head of hair and he was really, really buff. And he's a dead ringer for you back then.
Hmm. So what you're saying is, I've got 6 months to put on a lot of weight. Some hair.
Or I guess you could get rid of him and convince everybody that you went on a really, really drastic, like diet or something. I don't know.
All right. You know what? The desperate measures. I'm going to try to kill him right there in the interview.
Okay. Go ahead and roll any attack on your character sheet. If you have a weapon there.
Anthony, I will say, I am so drawn into this that I don't care if we come back to my character. I don't care if the whole story is just Arnie bumbling in the dark with this guy. I think this is fantastic.
Yeah, we just do a full Trish from Shandy, and it's all the flashback before the inciting incident of the fucking story.
How exciting would it be if in this first episode, all that happens is I die in the past. Like, I am not.
That's why you were so quiet in the car. Yeah.
It's a Weekend at Bernie scenario. You were just embarrassed to go to a bank robbery with only 2 people.
Let's see here. I unfortunately did not put any weapons in, but
just roll a d20 for me.
Okay, d20. All right. Also, to be fair, I can use 2 weapons at the same time.
Doesn't sound fair at all.
Great. What weapons would you like to use? Did you bring them in? What do you think you would have on you for this job interview?
I think I have my gun.
You definitely have a crawl.
And the, my glaive. Yeah. The movie yeah. is called.
That's what it, yes, sorry.
Yeah, well, he's holding the glaive and checking it out. You could also improvise by taking something from the room. So he's got like a little fake little Academy Award on his desk that says World's Best Bank Manager.
Okay.
And he's got a golden globe that also says World's Best Bank Manager, but it's misspelled, but he doesn't care because it's a fucking golden globe. Doesn't matter.
Okay, I'm gonna try to take both the fake Oscar and the fake Golden Globe and like smash them on both sides of the head. If there's a Tony and an Emmy around,
and you gotta hit him and you gotta say, "You got him."
Exactly.
There's also a Cable Ace Award that says Best Teller. It's from a long time ago. Yeah.
And we cut to Teller from Penn and Teller, and he is just crying at home,
but silently. Uh-huh. So go ahead and give me a straight D20 roll.
All right. I got a 18.
Wow. Okay. So with an 18, you cave this poor man's head in completely. Mm-hmm. All decades and decades of watching movies brought him to this moment where he was destroyed by what was secretly his favorite actor. He was actually hoping you were Joe Pesci.
Oh.
But his skull crushes. His legs buckle underneath him. He falls over and he's dead now in his office. What do you do?
I say, I'd like to thank the Academy.
I also somehow lose my Joe Pesci voice.
Okay.
I hide his body under his desk. I take his clothes off.
The last place they'll think to look.
I take his clothes off.
And this is 6 months before the heist happens.
This is 6 months before the heist. I hide his body. Well, look. I hide his body under the desk for right now.
Sure, okay.
And I put his clothes on. And then I open the door a little bit. And I tell my secretary or whatever to hold my calls. And if she asks for how long, I say... 6 months.
Okay, so roll deception, I think, with advantage, because the voices were similar.
Okay, let's see here.
And Anthony, if you want to bottle this up and sell it, like almost like Honey Heist or something, just this Arnie-specific story, please. I'm sure this would make millions.
The first two rules will be, one, this game requires at least three players, and two, only one of the players will be playing.
All right.
Anthony, you know, I hate to be a stickler, but is there a camera in that office?
What are you trying?
I hate to even bring it up.
I rolled an 11.
Anthony, while you think about it, I hate to be a stifler, but where's your mom, dog?
Okay, so let's say that with an 11, the manager's secretary, who looks like Sharon Stone from Casino and is dressed like that.
Oh, okay.
Goes, okay, whatever you say. I forgot how Sharon Stone sounds. I assume it's sexy.
Nailed it.
Yeah. But you did not notice that there was a camera recording everything that happened.
Okay. So I didn't notice that.
At first. You close the door having talked to Sharon Stone, and then as you close the door, you saw the telltale blinking red light in the corner of your eye. You turned up and you looked, oh, there's a surveillance camera watching the whole thing. And potentially... because of what you know about the bank, maybe the security guard whose job you actually wanted may have seen all that.
And Anthony, can I blow your mind? Let's go back 6 months.
All right, great.
Tommy punches the plume, walks into this office because he sees a security officer wanted sign.
Oh, no.
Are we going to create a paradox?
As long as it still ends with Tommy DePlume walking back into his place of business and intimidating a guard that I guess knows him.
I'm just going to say, if I accidentally killed Tommy DePlume...
If you do want to follow with the 6 months before that, we totally can.
We'll forego that. Let's make Artie step in it.
Okay, great. So, yes, you've got... basically, you know that from the way that this place is sort of laid out, from the bank manager's office... That door leads to the sort of area where all the tellers are with all the money. And then that also leads to an elevator. Well, and then which leads to a locked door that gets you out to where the customers are. But before that, there's an elevator that takes you down to the vault. And on the way to the vault, in the big hallway leading from the elevator, is the security room. So there's a fair amount of real estate between you and potentially somebody who just saw you murder somebody. But maybe he didn't. Maybe he was asleep. Maybe he was checking the newspaper.
Let me quickly now investigate the room that I'm in to see, I guess I'm going to be trying to very quickly look for, like, does he have a hat? are there any magazines around? Like, things that I would naturally
magazines?
Carry.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Arnie, we started off with an action-packed bank heist, and now we're stuck with you in a room trying to figure out if there's magazines around?
No. Let him do it. Anthony, what magazines are in there?
Okay. So the magazines that he's got are, he's got the last print issue of Entertainment Weekly. He's got Variety. He doesn't understand any of the industry lingo, but it makes him feel important to have it. He's got Game Pro, like a really old issue of Game Pro, because they had a review of the Demolition Man game on Sega CD. And he was like, I love Demolition Man.
Sure. Okay.
And the highlights for kids.
Well, I love that. So I was going to say the Variety, I assume, is slightly bigger than Entertainment Weekly, right?
It is.
So I'm going to take the Variety magazine and I'm going to put the Entertainment Weekly inside it because I'm much more interested in reading that. But I'm also going to, like, rip a couple pages out of the highlights.
Arnie, slow down. The audience is dying to know. What page do you turn to and what do you see inside this Variety?
Well, I can't just make up what's in the Variety. I'm going to put those things in. I'm going to put it over my face. I'm going to, like, hold it up like I'm reading it and walking through the office.
Okay.
And I'm going to try to walk to the security room like I'm reading Variety on the way, because everyone in the office knows that I'm real into pop culture because I've got all the stuff in my office.
Okay, go ahead and roll deception with disadvantage.
So deception with disadvantage means I roll zero times?
Means you roll twice and take the lower of the two rolls.
Okay.
Anthony, at this point, genuinely asking, is it easier for Matt and I to just play characters in this office 6 months ago?
Honestly, if you want to, we totally can do that. I can delete everything that I had planned, and that's a whole other adventure we can go on instead. That's totally fine.
My lower was a 12.
So with a 12, here's what his secretary, Sharon Stone, sees. She sees a man with wrists and hands covered in blood walking out of her manager's office holding a Variety up. So she can't see his face, but she can tell that the rest of his body is not rotund like the man. He's actually covering the one thing that looked a little bit like the manager, which is his face. So she just sees a strange person covered in blood walking out, and she goes, cops? Somebody call the cops. And she looks inside the manager's office. She goes, oh my God, she screams, but like sexy, like Sharon's.
To be fair, I put him under the desk.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
Did you also clean up the blood from when you bashed his brain open?
No, but there's some chance that we were behind his desk when that happened.
So you're suggesting that you walked up with the glaive, walked around his desk, handed it to him, and then walked behind him, and then went back around the desk, grabbed the two awards, then got behind him and smashed his head in.
Yeah, I mean, look, what kind of guy is he? Is he a you come to me or I come to you kind of boss? I would posit that he would stay behind his desk and I would have to come to him.
And Arnie, you're also insinuating this man has very thick blood, almost like ragu, that does not splatter or spray?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that, again, I'm going to roll D20. I'm going to roll D20, and depending on what I roll, if I roll high, then... Okay, so I rolled a 10, which means that I lost, which means that you already get what you want, which is that his body was behind the desk.
Okay.
But she's like, oh God, what happened? She sees that you're covered in blood, so she runs into the office and looks around, and the tellers hear her scream, and they turn around to look at you, and you're still walking, just non-stopping with the Variety covering your face, but they see her run into the office.
Okay.
Is there anything you'd like to do in this moment?
So at this moment, I'm trying to think if I could possibly... I'm still trying to... Guys, I just got to say, I'm still trying to get this job.
I just want to let the listeners know, Arnie fought for this moment over the course of 6 or 7 emails. Matt and I were on board for it, but Arnie wanted this moment so bad.
To be fair, I thought I was either going to succeed, or if I failed, I would just be like, run into the bank after you guys, being like, oh, did you not get my calls? I didn't get the job.
No, this is way better.
But then there just seemed to be like the smallest glimmer of hope that I could still get this job. And that is that's the road that I've careened down ever since that moment.
Arnie, maybe you lie and you say that you cut your scalp off to put on a new hairpiece, and then you can drop the magazine and you'll look like the guy in the face, but with full hair.
Yeah.
Is that something? I'm trying to help you out from
afar.
That's
something? That's something?
So here's the thing. I feel like if the body... I feel like if the body isn't discovered, then I can still potentially save this.
My favorite John Mayer song.
But did the secretary... Did Sharon Stone see the body?
I'm going to have her roll investigation.
Okay. Can I try to distract her?
How would you like to do that?
Oh, boy. I'm going to make a lot of assumptions about a Joe Pesci-looking guy talking to a Sharon Stone-looking woman, and I'm going to offer her some cocaine.
Okay, go ahead and roll persuasion. Okay. I assume that you get, like, as she's running in to the office, do you, like, kind of step back to try to block the doorway and go, whoa, 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 and then you have this exchange?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and roll persuasion.
I rolled a 6.
So she runs into, she tries to run into the office. A man who won't put the variety down offers her cocaine. She goes, and then immediately ducks around you and gets into the room, rolls investigation, and gets a 21.
Whoa.
And so.
And I say to myself, I was under the impression that cocaine sold itself.
So she pretty much instantly sees that there are not many places to hide this body, checks the behind the desk, and screams, and then hits the not so silent alarm button under his desk. Alarms start blaring. All the tellers are looking at you. What do you do?
I think I have failed, but I am going to try one more thing.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry. I'm not trying to hijack this story.
This is the most Wile E. Coyote shit I've ever seen in D&D.
I've never felt more like I'm in a Coen Brothers movie than I do at this moment. I'm just like one mistake leading to another.
I also love that Sharon Stone had to roll a 21 when two men went into the office and one came out.
Well, that's why I gave her a +5.
Okay. Another one of my three items is that we had agreed upon in advance is a walkie-talkie that I can throw my voice into.
Yep.
And so it sounds like someone else is talking from my walkie-talkie.
Yes.
And that's all it does. And so I'm going to throw my voice into the walkie-talkie and say,
we got it on camera. That woman killed the... We got it on camera. That woman killed the bank manager.
Okay.
And she tried to kill that other handsome guy.
Okay. Go ahead and roll deception.
Okay.
I'm going to say with disadvantage.
That's fair. All right.
I think wherever, at this exact same moment in time, Ma O'Brien senses something's wrong in the universe, and she uses her prayer beads, which is one of my items.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
They're almost like Doctor Strange's Infinity Stone, right?
Yeah, exactly. They're rosary beads, essentially, and I can pray on them, and I get a 1 in Googaplex chance that Jesus will come and do my bidding.
I feel like I'm feeling generous. I think instead of 1 in Googaplex, I think we can go full on 1 in 100.
1 in 100? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I like the move of, let's alleviate some of this mess. Let's try and call Jesus Christ down from heaven.
See if Jesus can help.
So go ahead and roll 2d10, and if they both show 0, that means you rolled perfectly, and Jesus will show up.
Okay.
Oh, I hope 2D10. He shows up, because I know exactly what I do.
Okay, I got an 8.
Oh, you were pretty close to Jesus showing up.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Jesus, as he has since 2,000 years ago, continues to not show up.
Yeah.
You are in this moment going to roll with disadvantage deception to see if you can trick people into thinking that Sharon Stone killed the manager and not you.
Okay, well, I also got an 8.
Okay, so yeah, the tellers all scream and they fall to the ground. The two guards, the same ones that we saw at the beginning of this story, which means that they survived to the point of getting accosted by the other two players, they draw their guns on you and they say, hands on the ground, even though you're on the other side of the bulletproof glass. They say, hands on the ground, and the guard nearest to the door leading to the teller's area opens the door and comes inside with his gun drawn and trained on you. And he says, give up, put your hands on the ground.
All right, this is something I probably should have done earlier. I'm going to look around. Just look around. Like, is there an exit nearby? Or, like, how...
Yeah. Like,
do I appear to have options?
Yes, there is an emergency exit. Basically, so the guard that has his gun drawn is coming towards you. Mm-hmm. To your left, to the left side of him, is that elevator that heads down to the security room in the vault. To the right is a door leading to the lobby with all the customers and stuff. And directly behind him is a fire exit that will... It would normally sound an alarm, but there's already an alarm sounding. So if you can get past him, maybe you can get out of here.
Hey, Anthony, is it allowed for Adel and I to talk to our client for a moment?
Yeah, please do.
Sure, okay. Please. I will take any suggestions.
Does your character have any, like, stealth things that you can justify using in the world here?
I've got a lot of stealth. Crazy.
Maybe it's
with
time
stealth.
To employ those.
Yeah, I was also thinking, like, do I see any, like, vents or anything? Like,
magazines?
Oh, any man sized magazines? So, there are vents. Yeah, how big is this guy? He's not 6'9", 420. That's
No, he's more Jason Statham size. So smaller.
So small on the smaller side, sure. Yeah. So yes, you can see that above you is one of those sort of it's one of those buildings, like public buildings, have really high ceilings, so their vents are detached from they're not, you know, internal. They're just these big hanging metal vents, essentially. And you can see that you could potentially, with an acrobatics check, leap up to one of those and pry the cover off of it.
Okay, I'm going to try.
Okay.
Doesn't seem particularly stealthy, but all right.
Yeah, it is not stealthy. You're going to roll acrobatics.
Well, okay. But everyone's looking at me, right?
Yeah.
Or at least one person is looking at me.
Yeah,
well, what am I missing? Like, Adel, Matt? So my other thought was I could try to, like, go through a door somewhere where people don't see me and then get stealthy and kind of, like, find a hiding place inside the bank.
If you have the ability to, like, actually, like, disappear or have, like, a cloak in the D&D terms that you can use, and then we can, like, figure out some fun justification in this world, that's what I was kind of asking about. Is there, like, a thing that's, like, I have healing spells that I'll justify as, like, I'm just praying and hoping that you get better and it helps or whatever.
Yeah, do you have any abilities or spells or skills on your character sheet that would help you in this moment? What is your character class, I guess?
The other option is you die right here and then we jump forward 6 months and you play your twin brother.
I was strongly considering that as well.
That's a pretty good option.
Okay, so you are a ranger.
Yes. Like, if I can get into a vent or something, I can definitely, like, navigate that. That's very much in my skill set. But
great.
It's a
go ahead and give me an acrobatics roll. So that would be a d20 roll plus 3.
All right. I rolled a 10.
Okay. So with a 10, you roll, you do a cool Jason Statham kick flip to try to get up there. But it's just a little, your hands are a little too slippery from the blood, and you fall down onto your back. You take a D6 of damage. You're knocked prone. And in that time, the guard rushes up to you, puts his gun against your head and says, freeze, stop moving, stop moving. The cops are on their way. Stop moving.
Okay.
We cut back 6 months where I apply to the police academy.
Roll persuasion or deception.
Me?
Yes.
Yeah, I want this to happen. Oh, my God, please. I want to see.
I want to hear Matt scream, don't move, dirtbag.
Deception is a 10.
Okay, so with a 10, they got you doing traffic duty. They hired you. They'll take anybody in this town because there's so many damn crooks. You're not going to be a detective. But if you're doing the crosswalk for kids at Shadow City Elementary, and you hear on your radio that they have a bank robbery potentially happening at the Shadow City First National Bank, anybody who's not a crossing guard can come and help out with that.
Oh, damn.
But what was Tommy Punches doing 6 months earlier?
Pickleball.
All right. So a gun is to your head. It feels like the jig is more or less up. Is there any last thing you would like to do?
Well, I've gotta be true to my character. First of all, can I ask, what does this detective look like anybody?
What detective? The guard?
The guard. Yeah, the guard that's got a gun pointed at me.
Yeah, the guard looks like Mike from Breaking Bad. He's a little on the older side, but he looks like he's seen some stuff.
Okay. He probably isn't into crawl.
Literally 50 minutes into this record. And the inciting incident has not happened yet.
I'm going to offer him some cocaine.
Roll. All right. You get
Does
one last
Does your character have cocaine?
I mean...
I feel like his behavior doesn't make any sense unless he has ghost
touch. Yeah, you're right.
So I'm going to say...
I'll grant him that. Yeah.
You're going to roll persuasion. Oh. No disadvantage, no advantage, just roll persuasion. This is your last roll I'm giving you.
I've never seen, and thank you so much for this, Anthony. I've never seen a DM or GM almost like like a bartender cut someone off. hey, buddy, you're getting a little sloppy. This is your last drink.
You've had enough.
All right, I rolled a 9.
So with a 9, this guard goes, "I got my own." And he pistol whips you, and you are knocked unconscious. A little while later, you wake up in the back of a paddy wagon, which drives past Ma at the crosswalk, who briefly can make eye contact with you and sees you in the back of the car.
My boy. No.
Can I yell out the window?
The window is closed because they don't usually leave the windows open for people to escape out the back of cop cars.
So I can't put my hand out and do that like wavy hand thing in the wind?
No, you cannot do the zoom zoom.
Well, I mouth to Ma out the window. You have 6 months to break me out of prison.
We have a bank job in 6 months, though.
I know.
Please tell me the prison in this town consolidated with the bank.
they're alarmingly close to one another. I feel like if we want to still stay in this pre-heist timeline, mm-hmm. but follow the two of you now, so that Arnie can know what it feels like.
Yeah.
We can totally follow you trying to break him out if you so wish. Or you can let him fucking rot and Arnie can roll a new character.
I've taken up a lot of the oxygen in this game so far, so I'm really fine with whatever you guys
are. Arnie, my friend, I've laughed till I cried. I would not change a thing. This has been a true joy, truly. I would say, Matt, I would vote we try and break him out, because I think...
All right, let's do it.
I think if we're a band, if we're a gang, then we probably would help each other out.
Okay, sounds good to me.
Realistically, yeah.
All right, kids, good luck finishing crossing the street. I gotta get home and finish my minestrone.
Thanks, Ma.
Would I be able to be in any kind of communication with them while I'm in prison?
Yeah, I feel like there's, you know, regular, there's visitation stuff. You did murder somebody, so it'll be in a maximum security prison. It'll be through the, you know, the phones with the plastic separating you. But you could talk to anybody you liked. I think it would probably be weird to talk to Ma, because Ma's technically a member of the police force, and they might notice that. But certainly you could talk to
Tommy Punches de
Punches.
Plume.
Yeah, you could probably talk to Punches while you're in prison.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? I think...
Did you not get enough screen time in this adventure so far? Did you really want to be...
I was just realizing. I was like, they should... I was going to offer, like, should I just try to escape myself?
yeah. Just you and a bunch of NPCs, you escape. The other guys don't even need to know about it.
Arnie, we'll give you 50 minutes, but if you don't get out, we're finally going to come in there.
Yeah, I would not be a good parent. I'm not good at setting boundaries.
you guys figure out your own plan. I'm gonna just be doing push-ups or something. Like,
So, Matt, I do have some animal handling skills. And I also have one of my three items is a rat whistle, where if I blow a whistle, any rat within a certain area will come running or come rushing to the source of the sound.
Okay.
So I could maybe either try and get one of the rats to grab a guard's keys and slip that to Arnie where he can make his own way out, or slip it the keys and pass them off to you, or try and gain entry myself at like visitation or something, or in the yard.
I don't have a better plan, so I say let's do it.
Great.
We could also try to send in something through food, let's do the animal handling. Let's do it.
Cool. So, yeah, I have some animal handling, and I think I have a great deal of experience, Anthony, with rats. Like, I'm always hanging out with and training rats and keep them in my pockets or in my down my shirt or something.
And you always teach them to tell the police everything they know if they're ever kidnapped.
They always squeal, yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I would like to try and get one of my rats. I think at the yard is probably better, so I'm not in the prison with him when there's a breakout attempt.
Sure.
So I'm going to try and get a few of my rats to grab the keys from a guard and get them to Arnie so he can get out.
Okay. So why don't you give me two animal handling rolls? The first one will be to see if you can train them. So your whistle brings them to the whistle, right?
Yeah.
Yes, any rats go to the source of sound. I know you're not using the whistle. I'm just so the first animal handling roll is going to be, can you teach a rat to go get an object and then bring that object to a second location?
Yes, that is a 10.
Okay, so with a 10, let's say it takes you, 2 months of your 6 remaining months before the heist to do that.
Perfect.
But now you've done it. And now for your second animal handling role, that'll be for actually getting it into the prison.
Ooh, we're not going to like this. This is a straight up 5.
Okay.
And that's with +3 animal handling.
Ooh. Okay, so with a 5, the rat, I guess you're in the bushes outside of the prison or whatever, and you see the rat at night trying to, like, fucking escape from New York, dodge, like, searchlights and stuff to get into the prison wall, but they're on top of it here in Shadow City, and the second that it goes through one of the search, it's almost there, and you're so psyched, and then one of the searchlights just sees it, and then you hear a sniper shot, the other rats see that, and they're like, oh no, this is what happens when you follow Punch's advice. So that takes another 2 months off of your preparation before you get rats that are willing to go in. So go ahead and give me another roll. You finally got another, after 2 months, you have another rat that's really excited to do this. You've gotten back into the rat world's trust again.
Can I ask something, Anthony? You made a good point, which is I never clarified when I said I have a rat whistle in which any rat within like a mile comes racing towards the source, like fervently.
Mm-hmm.
Can I still be in the bushes, maybe 10 feet back from the fence or maybe 20 feet back from the fence, blow the whistle? And could that affect people in prison who are there for snitching?
Ooh. Okay. Yes.
And maybe they knock down the fence while they all frantically race towards the whistle.
Okay. Let's see. So I'm going to roll. Actually, why don't you roll a persuasion with advantage?
Okay.
And if you succeed, then all of the snitches and all of the rats and all of the stool pigeons will attempt to do anything they can to get out of their cells and come to you.
First one is a 3. The second one is an adjusted 20.
Ooh, okay. So with an adjusted 20, we'll zoom back to Crusher. You suddenly hear, as you're doing your push-ups, you hear shouting from up and down the cell block. You hear anguished screams. And if you peek, you know, if you look out through the little mirror that you probably use to look at what's going on in the cell block, you see a bunch of the most beat up, most put upon, most, I hate to say it, but betas of the prison ecosystem are all
prison betas
launching them. They're all launching themselves at their cell doors and making a real ruckus. One of them manages to break through because he was a big rat. Mm. He was very scared. He was like Huel from Breaking Bad. And the guards get called out to try to quell the riot, but there's just so many of these rats. This is a really disloyal prison. And they start running, and there is now a full blown riot happening, and they are rushing out to try to get to the main prison gate. So there's a lot of chaos going on. The cops, or the guards rather, are amassing in the cell block. They're all sort of coming down there for this emergency, which means that other parts of the prison might be not so well looked after. If you get out of your cell, maybe you've been planning some stuff, or maybe Ma has also, you know, put in other parts of the plan.
I think I'm nearby with a car waiting, but I'm is it possible that I'm in a car where I could see the rats starting to come out?
So the rats aren't coming out just yet. They're still fighting each other. There's you know, a bunch of prison guards between them and actually getting out of the prison. But there's a full-blown, like, fight happening between all of the prison guards and all the rats in the main cell block of the place. So that means, you can tell from where you are, that means that the snipers on the sniper tower are distracted. You can tell they've aimed their guns in toward the center of the prison rather than outward. You can see that a lot of the guards have moved away from their posts and are trying to deal with this big amount of chaos.
How close would I need to be to cast Bless on one of these people trying to help with the breakout?
Yeah, you would have to be within 30 feet. And verbal somatic material.
Bless.
Bless your heart.
Arnie, it's taken us about an hour to get back to minute one.
We're still not there.
No, this is great. No one's like, ever done a role-playing game like this before. Yeah, this is
perfect. Like, it's like a D&D campaign. It's like, we meet our three heroes, and Arnie's like, I break my own spine. And it's like, okay, well, forget the dungeon we were about to go into. Let's go through 5 years of rehab.
I like that we're in a position where, best case scenario, we begin episode 2 in the same place as we began episode 1.
No one's ever done that before. So let's say that with 30 feet, it doesn't even say you have to see them, just three creatures of your choice or whatever.
Okay.
So let's say that you know at least where Arnie is in the prison, and you could hypothetically drive to, you know, the walls of the prison and be, you know, if you park next to a random wall, you actually know that, you know, 29 feet on the other side of this wall Arnie's cell kind of sits through a bunch of, you know, stone and iron and other things that would prevent you from getting there physically, but your Ma religion powers allow you to sense that he's there. So if you want to bless him, you are more than welcome to.
I cast Bless on Arnie, Crusher, on sweet Crusher.
Great. So that means Crusher, you get and up to three creatures of your choice. So it could be two other people that you can sense are, you know, riding. Mm-hmm. Crusher and two other stool pigeons get an additional D4 for any attack rolls or saving throws before the spell ends. So if you want to do something that I make you roll for, usually it doesn't apply to skill checks, but I don't care. That's fine. You get to add a D4 to your roll to be successful.
Okay. I have a couple quick questions. One,
okay.
In my time here, how long have I been here?
So, what kind of magazines do they have?
They have Prison Variety. They have Prison Highlights. Prison Game Pro.
Prison Highlights is probably pretty good.
It's just goofus. Just a lot of goofus and gal. So you have been in here for 4 months because it took 2 months to train the rats and then it took another 2 months to convince the rats to try the thing again. At which point, Punches realized you could just get the stool pigeons to come out.
Okay, so I've been here for 2 months.
4 months. 4 months.
Have I befriended many other people? I guess I want to know if there are people... There's got to be some prisoners that actively have, like, a tunneling plan to kind of get out, right? Like,
okay, roll persuasion.
Okay, let's see here.
Or intimidation. I feel like persuasion is you went up to them and said, hey, anybody got any cool escape plans? Where intimidation is, like, did you try to be top dog at the prison and make people, you know...
Persuasion, I got a 14. And so the four, though, would be in the future from this point, right? So the blessing
not happened yet as far as...
So I got a 14 persuasion.
Okay. So with a 14 persuasion, it doesn't seem like the people who had these... So you found a gang that had an escape plan that seemed to involve basically going over the wall one night with a sort of jury-rigged catapult. You understood their plan. They didn't want you in on it because they didn't trust you enough. But you were aware of this plan, and you were at least vaguely aware of where they're keeping the catapult, if not exactly how to use it.
Okay. I like that. And now, to refresh my memory, am I able to get out of my cell, or do I need to figure out how to get out of my cell?
You would have to figure out how to get out of your cell. But, again, you've had 4 months, so perhaps Ma or Punches were giving you stuff in, you know, in your food or finding other ways to sneaking in rats to give you things or
yeah, who knows? Punches had bought invested in a 3D printer. And so over the course of like 100 visits, I was giving you enough small pieces of plastic to put together some sort of device.
100 visits in 4 months.
You really like your friend, man. Guards are actually really impressed by the really positive male relationship you all have.
Mm-hmm. And some of the other prisoners are like, those two are going to make it work. There's just something.
There's something there.
Yeah.
At first, I thought you were going to say, over the 4 months, I broke down the 3D printer and I sent it to him inside.
Hope you have an outlet.
Also, one of my third and final item that I've burned through pretty fast is a lockpick that can unlock any lock if I can answer a trivia question.
Okay. So I assume they would have taken the original when you went into prison, but I feel like it's entirely possible that you could, out of these little bits of plastic, you know, sort of assemble a 3D printed version of this lockpick.
Okay.
So what would you say is your best, and you have an equal chance of any of these happening, so there's no reason to lie. What would you say is the trivia zone you are best in, if we're thinking about Trivial Pursuit, like rules of categories?
You know, like arts and entertainment, literature for the most part.
Cool.
Everything else is a little dicier.
Okay. What would you say is the thing that you're worst at?
I would say the thing I'm worst at is probably sports or to be fair, geography as well.
Okay. So go ahead and give me a flat D20 roll. And the higher you get, the more pop culture related and easy it will be. And the lower you get,
I swear to God, I got a 19.
A 19.
So now it's going to be all the more sad when I get this really wrong.
Okay. How many actors have within canon mainline MGM films portrayed James Bond?
Okay. How many actors? Okay. I also love the idea of me with my lockpick in this moment trying to like looking up and being like, nah, we'll see.
I hope it's the pick that asks you, right? Is it like an enchanted pick or something?
Yeah, I feel like when you finally assemble the pick together and start moving it toward Locke, it goes, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not just going to do this for any schmuck or bozo. I need to make sure that I'm with somebody cool. And the way that I know that people are cool, trivia. So, movies. You sound like Joe Pesci and you look like Jason Statham. This is a man who must enjoy his films. So, how many James Bonds have there been?
All right.
Arnie, it's your job. I don't want to push it, but imagine Anthony in a new Jackbox game. It's a magical pick.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, you just stew on it. Stew on it.
All right. So I say, let's see. Sean Connery, George Lazenby, Roger Moore.
Lazenby's the second one?
Yeah.
Timothy Dalton, Pierce Brosnan, Daniel Craig.
That's it. The pick goes, yeah, that's pretty good. That's all of them. I mean, technically, David Niven was in the Casino Royale movie with Peter Sellers, but I'll let you go. If you rolled high,
yeah,
I'll let you.
Allen kind of.
Yeah, and idea. Yeah. There's also
and
that.
I think in the new one, there's a woman who takes over the moniker of 007.
Yeah, yeah. But I did say James Bond because I did think that I might try to catch you. If you rolled lower, I would have caught you and said 007. But lucky
back
you.
Back to the bushes.
All right. And so, click, the cell door pops open, and now you are in the middle of a rowdy riot between the stoolies and the guards. And you can see that even the non-stoolies in their cells are like getting amped up about this. They're getting psyched. And with, you know, the months that you've been here, you probably have seen that there is a room basically at the top of each cell block that has bulletproof glass windows around it where they can look at the cell the whole time. And they have a lot of buttons and levers and stuff they can pull in there to turn off the lights when it's lights out and open the cell doors and all that kind of stuff. And you also know the path out.
Addle, note to self, stage a play of Romeo and Juliet starring the Stoolies and Guard.
Stooliet, Stooliet, wherefore art thou, Stooliet?
I told you, I'm not going to talk.
The East is a snitch.
When you're a guard all the way.
So I've probably been kind of friendly with the guards because I know them very well over this time. So I might have been chatty with them and kind of have some inside information about what does what.
That's a lot of things to say, sure. I feel like if you wanted to get in good with the guards, you can go ahead and roll another charisma check for me, see if you like could befriend the guards.
Okay, let's see here.
If this ends up with you being a fucking guard in that bank, I'm going to be furious. Furious.
Bring it home, Arnie. You can do it.
Oh, my God.
And Anthony, while Arnie's doing that, can you let everyone know how much work you put into this story we haven't gotten to yet?
I'm so sorry.
Several weeks. Several weeks.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. But it's fine. It was all. None of it was as good as this.
16.
All right. So your modifier for persuasion is a +2. So you got an 18. So yes, there is something about your bank manager murdering self that has a lot of these guards who are actually in debt to the bank for house loans they took out. They're pretty psyched. They think you're one of the good prisoners. And so, yeah, they go like they took you around on a little fun tour of the prison on one of the days, which definitely makes all the other inmates fucking hate you. But they're like, hey, up there is where we got all the levers and bits for the, you know, there's that big red button that you should never push. Don't ever push that button. Ha ha ha. I get in a lot of trouble. Ha ha ha. But there's, yeah, and then there's also the button that releases the tear gas and the button that calls for the attack helicopter. And yeah. So you want to play pickleball or?
All right. So after I get out of the cell, I hit the red button.
Okay. So you run to the guard station, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I just want to be clear before I take the prison highlights magazine with me.
Okay, good. We'll say that's an improvised hand-to-hand weapon.
Yeah, like in Born Identity.
Yeah. So you get to the doorway of the guard control room, and that guard who asked you to be on the pickleball team is in there, and he goes, oh, Crusher, thank goodness you're safe. You gotta get back inside your cell. Something bad's happened.
I'm going to, you know, I don't want to kill more people. So first of all, this is a very important question. What does this guard look like? Does this guard look like anybody?
This guard looks like Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, definitely can't kill him then.
Love Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
So what you're also saying is like he's quick to anger, but in a hilarious way.
Yeah, he's endearing because of his faults, not despite them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Arnie, if there's a pan in there, don't kiss the pan.
Yeah.
Because it will kiss you.
I am going to say to the guard, Mab, this place is crazy. We gotta get out of here. Not just for me, for your own safety. I swear to you, I will turn myself in after we get out. But we're all gonna die in here. And I hit the red button and I say, please, Bob, come with me. Let's get out of here. It's not worth your life.
Okay, so you hit the red button and all the cell doors for all the prisoners open. Roll deception.
Okay.
Because you're saying you're going to turn yourself in. You're almost certainly not going to.
Yeah. I rolled a 20 or 19 plus 4, 23.
Wow. So Guard Odenkirk. Yeah, Guard Odenkirk says, Gardenkirk. Gardenkirk says, oh, you're right. You know what? It's not about guards or stoolies. It's just about people that care about each other. And I think we have a connection. We got to get out of here together.
Yeah, it's about the relationships.
It's about the relationships. Let's get out of here, Crusher. And he grabs you by the hand and starts running with you through the prison.
This is
as
very sweet.
People are getting shanked around you and thrown off of balconies and stuff like that. And he goes, we could get out through and basically because all the cells are opening, everybody. There's chaos everywhere. Mm-hmm. The guards are almost certainly getting overwhelmed. And he runs out to the front gate with you. And there's snipers are pointing at him and you. And he's like, no, it's fine, guys. It's fine. We're best friends. And they're like, what? And he's like, it's fine. And he hits a button, radios for the front door to open. Uh-huh. And now Ma and Punches, you can see the front gates open. And there's a lot of gunfire inside. There's a lot of chaos. But through it all, silhouetted against the muzzle flashes and the smoke and the gunfire, you see Gardenkirk and Crusher holding hands, running away from it as fast as they can.
I'm going to drive up to the front gate as fast as I can and hope that everyone who I want to get in there gets in there with me.
Okay.
And I'm still in the bushes, beat red, still blowing the whistle as much as I can, because the minute I stop, they'll stop trying to get to the source.
Great. Okay, so because I feel like everybody's out of danger, Ma, Crusher, and Gardenkirk jump into the car. Mm-hmm. Actually, Ma's driving, right? So Gardenkirk and Crusher jump into the car, and you can all pick up Punches easily. And so, now you're all shoved in this car. Gardenkirk goes, okay, cool, we're safe. I think I could hear them stop freaking out. So you're going to go back in now, right? We got to go back in because I'll lose my job if you don't go back in the prison. Who are your friends? Your friends seem nice.
Gardenkirk, buddy, look, I know what's in my heart. You know what's in my heart. But they're not going to understand. We had to do what we had to do to survive, but now we have to save your good name, and it's not going to be enough for me to turn myself in. What we got to do is we got to raise a lot of money to get your life back together, buddy. You need to help us get some money for you. To save you, you need to join our gang, Gardenkirk.
We could use a guy to drive the getaway car. We've got a gig plan here.
Yep. He goes, well, and now that we're out of the prison, I feel like I'd use my normal voice because actually I wasn't so much in debt to a bank. It was more of a certain Don Tribbiani, a certain purveyor of illegal additional funds. And I'm thinking maybe we could come to some sort of arrangement. And he, Gardenkirk, now Robinkirk, is currently in the front seat, in the present day, sitting in the driver's seat, waiting for all of you to finish with the heist. That still does not answer the question of what Crusher is doing on the evening
Good
of the heist.
Question. We have to go back 7 years.
An email from Anthony Birch dated Monday, April 25th. Guys, this session will start with a bank heist. I'll give you the details and you can come up with a plan. Don't feel pressured to think about this too hard. It's just going to be the intro for the hero showing up and the shit really kicking off.
Hey, it's Earth Arnie again. I hope you enjoyed episode 1 of Shadow City. In just a minute, I'm going to tell you how you can get more episodes of Shadow City. But first, the credits. Crusher was played by Arnie Niekamp. That's me. Tommy Punches the Plume was played by Adil Rafai. Matilda Ma O'Brien was played by Matt Young. Our special guest game master was Anthony Birch. Anthony is a writer for video games, comics, and television. You can also hear Anthony as the Dungeon Master on the outstanding podcast Dungeons and Daddies, which is currently in its second season. I personally happen to be a proud Patreon supporter of Dungeons and Daddies and encourage you to do that as well. Shadow City was produced by Arnie Niekamp, Adil Rafai, and Matt Young. Post-production coordination by Garrett Schultz. This episode, with all of its delightful sound design, was edited by Sage GC, and the theme song was also by Sage. If you enjoyed the sound design, you should check out Sage's podcast, 20 Sided Stories, an improvised comedy and role-playing podcast. Hello from the Magic Tavern is an independent production. If you want to support the show, head over to patreon.com/magictavern. As I said in the intro, we are creeping closer to having enough Patreon supporters to meet the stretch goal to release the remaining episodes of Shadow City, which are already recorded. And if you join the Patreon, you could help us get even closer. And your support helps us do things like pay our editors and pay our guests. But supporting the Patreon is not an entirely selfless act, because you get all kinds of benefits. For only $5 a month, and there is only one tier, keeping it simple, our patrons get ad-free versions of the episodes. That includes our entire back catalog of hundreds of episodes, seasons 1, 2, and 3, and all of the Magic Tavern spinoffs. And there are a lot of them. 3 seasons of Offices and Bosses, 2 seasons of Earth Games, I Am Spintax, the podcast, 2 seasons of Masters of Mayhem, Lost in Foon, Usador's Fetching Quests, Hey Tavern Tavern, and Behind the Tavern, where we tell behind-the-scenes stories of the making of the show. Plus, since the Patreon has debuted, we've accumulated over 30 all-new bonus episodes, things like Fall Asleep with Flower, Spintax's Book Release Party, The Return of the Transdimensional Delivery Man, Girls' Night, Momo's Move, a full-length Star Wars Episode 4 watch-along commentary track where Arnie, Chunt, and Usador watch Star Wars with you, an episode where Chunt officially announces the names of his buttholes, and much more. And new ones every month, 2 new bonus episodes every month. Plus, there are all kinds of other perks that I know I'm already talking way too long, but stuff like you can get access to the Magic Tavern Discord, quarterly virtual meet and greets with the hosts, a monthly newsletter from the hosts, early access to live events. We've just started experimenting with posting videos to the Patreon, all kinds of stuff, and some really cool stuff coming. And hopefully with your help, coming soon, the rest of Shadow City, which was really fun to record, and I'm excited for you to hear the rest of it. Like I said before, to learn more and become a patron, go to patreon.com/magictavern. Okay, that's enough of me talking. You already heard me in the full episode and in the framing device? That's too much. Thanks for listening, thanks for your support, and we'll be back with a new Hello from the Magic Tavern episode next week.